Episode 22. The old 22 Motorsports number there, Shane.
I think
you know something about that one. We got Sugar Shane with us in the room. I'm your host, RJ Huss. We've got Mr. Tyler Kasha, our production manager, handling this aspect. And then we also got a special call-in guest that we will be talking to here shortly. So we'll get that lined up, teed up whenever we get ready. But, you know, episode number 22, we had last episode 21, Mr. Dan Truman on that episode. It was right after Tampa, and we got to talk about the event, the night, the day, having the semi at Tampa and the chaos that goes with it. You know, Sugar Shane getting that semi back, you know, out of Tampa. You did a phenomenal job of getting that thing snaked out of the pit there pretty quick.
Time to go.
Yeah, no doubt. So episode number 22 is going to be brought to you by Fox Racing. We've got a great relationship with our good friends at Fox and very, very happy to have them part of the team and everything that they do for us. We get to talk about some of that coming up here throughout the episode. So anybody that's looking for some new gear right now to, you know, when you're thinking about purchasing a new set of gear, when it comes down to the comfort and quality and fit of the Fox Racing stuff, you know, Shane, I know you've dealt with them for a long time. It's been great for me to get to know them. And, you know, even when we went out there on that Anaheim 2 trip, we talked about that in a, you know, summary. And great to have the folks with Fox Racing involved. And we looking forward to seeing them this weekend in Daytona. A lot of things that we'll talk about on this episode with them about that. So we very grateful to have them on board with us. But overall, the series went west. Went out to Oakland. So after our last podcast, we took the weekend off of podcasting just because we had a bunch of different things going on, which we'll try to explain some of that throughout this episode as far as logistics go. But the boys went racing in Oakland on the West Coast, and our, you know, guys got the weekend off as far as racing East Coast series. So took the weekend off of a podcast, but here we are, episode number 22.
Yeah, you sound okay?
I apologize for that. Voice is not quite radio quality today.
You ate too many corn dogs at the fair.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but definitely not 100%. Voice went away for a while now and hasn't quite come back yet, so I'm hoping that we can get that resolved also. But still want to get you guys an episode out, and, you know, the people that do follow us and listen to us, you know, we get a lot of text messages, direct messages on our social media platforms, and people that say, you know, hey man, you know, where's the latest episode at? And with us not doing one last week, you know, got quite a bit of influx of people that said, you know, they wanted something and we didn't have it. And definitely wanted to get something out right now. We've got a lot going on. You know, obviously Dallas was this past weekend, Dallas Arlington round. You know, everybody calls it Arlington on the schedule. I call it Dallas because that's where the Dallas Cowboys play. So we'll get into that too and talk about Dallas and all the logistics of how that goes and trying to map everything out. But yes, Tyler, you are correct. The voice is not there today, so I apologize for not having the beautiful radio voice that
I think you sound fine
that I try to have. But
have you been to Arlington before in your lifetime?
I have been there before. It's the new stadium.
Oh, so you went to Dallas?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not been to the new stadium, and I had that on my list this year. Yeah. As one of the ones that I did not want to miss. But obviously, once the schedule was released and seeing when it happened, I had prior commitments and prior events going on this weekend.
Yeah.
So I was not able to make it out to Dallas. The boys went out there, but I was not able to go, and I want to go to that round.
It's smack dab in the middle between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And when they say that, like, everything's big in Texas, it's correct. The parking lot's there, the stadium, the TVs, obviously. Yeah. Everything about that place is pretty cool because there's a lot of room. Everything's big.
Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, I believe somebody said that the TVs that are hanging inside that stadium, at one time, I believe they have been surpassed recently, but at one time, those were the largest monitors in the world.
Yeah, I heard that when it was first built.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we went there, I think the inaugural, I forget which year it is, I apologize, but we went there when the stadium was new, obviously, and shoot, I don't know if they're still there, but they even had flat screens in the dang men's and women's bathrooms. I was like, wow, they didn't. They went all out on this one.
Well, at least that stands out to you.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that way you can watch the game while you're, you know, doing your business.
Well, it is a beautiful stadium, and it is fairly new. So, I mean, I that's a bucket list place to go to. I mean, I know the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy is very nice and well built, and I just see this one on TV, and I think that one would be exciting to go to. So I'd like to see that on the bucket list. But we're gonna talk about Dallas here in just a second, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, Sugar and Tyler. I mean, Tyler, you've been riding that Cowie, riding that Future MX Cowie out there, getting a little feeler for it.
Well, you know, I only ride at Dade City, and it's been closed because of the fair.
Yeah.
So I'm in kind of my off season right now.
Well, we got a lot of events coming up, though. There's a kind of continuing this whole whirlwind tour here of the spring. And I don't want to say spring nationals because that's what our amateur guys are getting ready to do. Carson Wood and Drew Adams, you know, they're getting ready to go on a multiple week spring national tour. But at the same time, for us, we also have our own spring tour between Daytona. And as soon as we leave Daytona, we got Day in the Dirt. And as soon as we're done at Day in the Dirt, we got the Dade City FTR. So it's like three weekends in a row of back to back to back. So we're going to get into all of those. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've got a special call-in here in just a little bit. We'll make a call on the phone and get an update from one of the top 10 riders in the 250 series. So we'll reach out to them. But, man, there is a lot of logistics.
So you want to go over Dallas?
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics that go into that.
So how did it start?
Well,
you guys were already planning on going.
Yeah, yeah. So I will be openly honest. I had a lot of people question, and even Dan Truman brought it up on the last episode, episode 21, and they said, "Hey, are you guys going to go to Dallas? You know, that's a Triple Crown."
Right.
So that's a different format. So instead of the normal, you know, night show format where you go through your time qualifying, top 40, get into the night show, and then you have a heat race and an LCQ, on a Triple Crown format, it doesn't work that way. Triple Crown, only the top 18 from qualifying get into the night show, and then there's an LCQ for rider number 19 through 40. So you have to be 19 through 40 to get into the 250 LCQ right. to make it into the night show.
So there's less chance is what you're saying.
There is. I mean, your top guys, you know, your I would say your routine main event guys are going to be there pretty consistently in their timing. So it was a debate. We had already signed up for Dallas before the season started, and I wanted the boys to have as much opportunity as they could to experience, you know, the race and go into different venues. And I did not realize it was a Triple Crown when we signed up, which I'm not saying we wouldn't have gone anyway, because I think the boys had a chance, but it is a different format. So going out there, you know, just planning to go out there. I mean, everybody sees on TV or on the Peacock app, whatever it may be, you know, the three different moto format, and it's exciting because there's a lot of racing, a little bit more TV time, and a little bit more of your favorite riders being on the track than a normal night program, which is great, but still logistics, you've got to figure all this part out. So Dallas is about 2 hours further than Houston, so it was about a 16-hour drive for our guys and the boys to go out there. And you know, we elected not to take the semi out there just because of simply the fuel cost.
Right.
And the fact that I couldn't get out there because I had a prior commitment to an event. So we took our small trailer out to Dallas, which means the boys got on the road on Thursday morning at 6 a.m. So because of, you know, where they both live, we didn't really want to take any chances of them having an issue on Thursday morning or not being able to make it to the meeting point on time on Thursday morning, which the meeting point was my house. So we decided, you know, hey, let's bring the boys in on Wednesday. We'll do a dinner, you know, Wednesday night, let them get a good meal, get some rest, and then Thursday morning get on the road and head to Dallas. So they left at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning. Luckily, they had a successful drive, no major issues on the way out there, and got all the way. I think they arrived out there around 10 o'clock on Thursday night and grabbed a hotel, was able to get the truck and trailer into the paddock on Friday morning, get the bikes prepped, everything ready to go, and then they go racing on Saturday, or qualifying on Saturday. And again, just go ahead.
No, so here's Saturday. How many qualifying practices did they have to get, to be able to get in? Was it two, or?
You have two time qualifying practices, and okay. Then you have one free practice. So we did the free practice first. Yep. And again, remember, I wasn't there, so I'm watching just like anybody else would,
right,
through the live timing and scoring on AMA's website, or I'm watching through the Race Day Live. And I'm also trying to keep up with Pooh and TB at the same time, to figure it out, where's everybody at, how we doing, how we looking. So we go through free practice, and then we went to the first practice, and at the beginning of the first practice, the boys had pretty good time. Aiden was sitting in third for a little bit in that first practice.
Really?
And then, the track developed a little bit and times got a little bit faster. So we shuffled back a hair. And then I was actually sitting at home. We were getting ready to leave to go to an event for my family and my kids. And I was watching Race Day Live when the second qualifying came up. And that was the one where I was like, okay, if they groom the track, is the track going to be faster? Where are we sitting at timing-wise? And I was watching the times, and I noticed in that qualifying time, and I'm sure most of the people that follow our team and listen to the podcast, they were probably doing pretty similar, because I saw some Facebook posts of different people that were, watching. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that Cole did not have a time on his, when they put the names, like when they list the names on Race Day Live, and they kind of show you where you're at in the order. And I noticed that he wasn't there. His name was there, but there was no time.
No time's popping up.
And I'm like, man, this is, that's, something's not making sense. Either his transponder, isn't registering, or his transponder, is, the battery is dead, or, something happened, or, he went down.
Or he never made it out for that second qualifier.
Right. So I'm sitting there in myself. I'm like, man, this doesn't seem right. So I started texting Pooh and TB, trying to figure out some info, and, before time qualifying was even done, the only text I got, from TB was, Cole's down. And that's, all I hear. So, of course, the first thing I'm thinking is the worst, like, oh, man, this is bad deal, bad news. And then as it progressed, and talking to him through text and then phone calls, and my phone, starts blowing up with people trying to get info too. And I'm like, I'm not there. I don't have all the answers right now. But it ended up on that first lap of the second qualifier that Cole was doing there. Anybody watching the race could see there was a dragon's back, and that dragon's back, from multiple of the videos that have been put out since the event, that dragon back, it was tough and it could be tricky. And apparently there was somebody right in front of Cole that was, leading up the dragon's back right in front of him.
Yep.
And then they let off and started to check up, and he wasn't really expecting that. So he was committed to doing it, and then they checked up. So it made him let off, and when he let off, it threw him. Ended up breaking his right arm, his right radius, which is the forearm, almost perfectly in between the wrist and the elbow. So, if you're looking at the arm, it would be right here in the center.
Yeah.
So definitely a bummer.
So, so he's out for the weekend, obviously.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact answers to all of that, because he has an orthopedic follow-up now that he's back in Florida. He's in Tampa. So we're trying to get more info as it comes. But such a bummer, it's always exciting to see your boys out there, these guys that you support, and you invest so much of our time, mentally and physically, in them, and obviously financially as well. You want them to do the best that they can do,
of course,
at every event they go to. So to hear one of your guys go down was, such a bummer. But Cole's a good kid, and he's got a positive attitude, and the good thing for him is it's a pretty clean break. Again, he's going to have to go get followed up at the orthopedic to get more answers as far as what's next, you know, whether we have to plate and screw it and have a surgery. I mean, we don't know those yet.
Did you see the Evan Ferry incident off that dragon back?
Yep.
Seemed like a lot of guys were having trouble with it. I mean, even during the mains, like guys were like jumping in the middle, jumping out. I think Coop was doing it, and it seemed like it was hard to commit off that thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I think between the dragon's back and the whoops was the two big ones. Even watching the Supercross Futures, you know, they had a qualifying stuff on Friday.
Right.
And there were some highlights that came out from them that it ended up claiming a few of them. But, you know, it's one of those things that you got a guy in front of you, you're trusting him. And I think we all saw that in the race replay, like even with Chase Sexton, you know. And
yep.
When you got a guy in front of you, which in Chase's scenario, it was a lapper, but, you know, you're expecting him to hold their line, or, you know, whether they're going to try and indicate that they're going to move one way or the other. And even in Cole's scenario with this, you know, if the guy in front of you believe is committed to doing an obstacle, and then right at the last second they back off when you're already committed, that's difficult. So
what about Mr. Aiden?
So Aiden goes in to the qualifying. You know, we were, like I mentioned with the format, so the top 18 go directly into the night show. From 19 through 40, you go into the LCQ during the day. So right. they don't do the LCQ in the night show. So it's a daytime LCQ.
Yeah.
So we were watching his time and seeing where he was. And like I mentioned, there at the beginning of the second qualifying time, I mean, he had a pretty fast lap at the beginning. But as the track developed and the track got faster, he shuffled back a little bit. But he ended up qualifying 33rd as far as overall qualifying time, which put him into the LCQ.
Oh, okay.
I think there was 50-something entries. I don't know the exact number, but I think there was 50-something entries for Dallas. So he goes into the LCQ, and anybody that watches the LCQ on Race Day Live can see that he goes into the first turn almost dead last.
Oh, really? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, so his start, he was one of the ones all the way in the back of the pack and just basically fought through the LCQ to end up in P11. So he finished the race in 11th. In the LCQ, they only take the top four.
Right.
So, you know, Aiden's night is over at that point, which is tough. I mean, you know, 11th, when they take the top 18, that essentially puts him in 29th, and they take 22 to the main event, to the night show. So he was seven spots out from, you know, making it into the night show and being where he needed to be. But,
well, if anything, they learned how a triple crown format works, you know. Yeah, and it's a little bit tougher,
and it's experience.
Yeah,
and sure. I think that's our whole goal right now, is knowing that these guys have the opportunity to go out there with the equipment. You know, we made a change with our suspension throughout the week, which has been a huge improvement. And I can't thank Rob at Race Tech, and even Ronnie Monk at 612. He's our local Race Tech dealer, and they made a change on suspension throughout the week, which, you know, both riders have indicated was a huge improvement.
Nice.
So, you know, just like everybody, I mean, even Ken Roczen right now, and you know, we both know Kenny, and we love Kenny, and he's right here in Clearmont, Florida. So it's exciting when you watch these guys day in and day out trying to improve. And, you know, he's doing that, working on his suspension as well. And, you know, we're doing the same thing. We want to try and improve these bikes and make it the best that they can be for these guys. And definitely a bummer for Cole. You know, his Supercross season, he and I talked yesterday, and, you know, we will know more after the orthopedic visit, but at this point right now, it's looking like his Supercross season for this year will be done.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, it's part of it. It's part of racing, and it sucks, but I mean, if you're going to throw that leg over that horse, you know.
Well, one thing I try to remind myself all the time is this is something that we signed up to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we choose that option every weekend when we go racing. And, you know, I never want to see anybody get injured. I actually had a long conversation with Chris Wood the other day about, you know, somebody getting injured, and he was pretty close to the situation. And it's one of those things, you never want to see anybody get injured, and you hope that never happens. But the reality of the sport is that could happen anytime you throw a leg over a motorcycle.
And it's a choice, for sure.
Yeah. So as of right now, you know, it looks like Cole's probably done for the remainder of Supercross, which for us would be Daytona, Atlanta, and Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And both of, you know, all of those events are basically within a seven-week window. And based on his recovery time, I mean, even if they said this is a, you know, 6 to 8 week recovery, he's not going to take 6 weeks off.
Yeah, you still got to get back on the bike and get back with it, and that takes time. So
yeah, and he's pretty realistic about that. I mean, Cole's pretty level-headed when it comes to that, you know, talking about the realistic, you know, aspect of things. And that's one thing I appreciate about him is that he's pretty realistic when it comes to those aspects. And, you know, this isn't something where he thinks like, oh, I'm going to be back on the bike in 4 weeks and I'll be ready to go. Like, that's an unrealistic expectation in this scenario.
Right.
So, no, it's definitely a bummer, but it's something you deal with. And, you know, I mean, at this moment right now, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a little bit of a taste of what Mitch Payton's going through right now. I mean, he's had a tough year for him and
the
Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki crew. So, you know, it's one of those eye-opening things that this can happen any day, whether it's at the training facility on a Wednesday or racing on a Saturday. I mean, I'm sure you dealt with it. That
I've been to dirt bike races by myself, just me and the truck, you know, because Boss Man got injured and
sponsors
still want you to be there and show a presence, and yeah, it's just the way it goes. I mean, that's a business side of it, but yeah, you never know what's going to happen. And unfortunately, there was a couple of years there where Chad got injured pretty good, you know, and so
yeah,
we dealt with it. Actually, some of the times we put other riders on. I don't know if you're going to go down that road, but we put another rider on the bike just to that way we're on the track and we're fulfilling what our sponsors want.
Well, and a lot of times people don't know what those contracts are, the behind the scenes things. Each. But you know, some of that stuff is that you're required to have a bike on the track. And you know, when you think it's going to be your guys that are there every weekend and one of them goes down and he's not there every weekend, if that sponsor is saying we want two bikes or at least one bike on the track.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Mitch has got a guy out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen him on TV, and he's not lighting the world on fire. I mean, he's an older rider, older racer, but
he's putting in the main.
But he's putting it in the main, and I saw him out there. So, you know, that's definitely a sponsor obligation right there that's got to be done.
Well, and I think that kind of goes back to some of the behind the scenes stuff that I'm trying to show people, you know, what it takes to run the team and give real aspects of this. And that's why I brought up even the Dallas, the travel and the logistics of that, of having riders, you know, stay the night at our house before the, you know, night that they had to leave, is just to eliminate the drive for them. You know, nobody has a flat tire or has any issues getting here.
You just want to make sure everybody's here on time.
Yeah.
Because it makes you nervous for them guys to get up that early and get out here, you know.
Absolutely.
They got a little bit more sleep that way. I mean, I know how your brain works.
No, that's exactly how it is. But that's the true side of this is that, you know, I want to make sure that they're where they need to be. And even the logistics of this coming weekend, like Daytona, you know, there's a lot of moving parts that go into this that people don't get to see. And you know, the 11 o'clock phone calls at night out to the, you know, California because they're 3 hours behind us. And, you know, the waking up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to get stuff loaded and ready to go to racing. I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't get to see. So overall, you know, Dallas Triple Crown, what a night of racing. I mean, even outside of our boys, which I know they did not make the Triple Crown format. And I think it was a great experience and opportunity for them. But, man, the 250 and 450 –
it was don't even know where to begin on that.
Yeah, it was like people dropping like flies.
Yeah, it was obviously, especially in the lights class, but even in the 450 class, like the last main event, I'm like, what is going on here? And I honestly, like, I love Coop's position right now.
Yeah.
Because the guy just lurks back there and he's always putting the pressure on. They always know he's there. And so these guys are, I don't know if these guys are getting balled up and nervous because Coop's kind of on fire right now or what, but man, that was super exciting. And the guy's just putting himself in a position that's in the right position, you know, and let those two battle it out and do whatever they got to do up front. And he's just right there. Like, and what's great is I love his fitness. I love where he's at because he's not losing time to those guys.
Well, in the last three rounds, he's got two wins.
Yeah,
he wins in Tampa and wins in, you know, Arlington or Dallas, whichever anybody wants to call it. And, you know, I think both of those put him right back in there. And I mean, that 450 title fight is closing up.
It's making it exciting. You know, it's not just a battle between two guys. Like Coop stepped it up and he's shaking it up, and it's making it way more interesting, in my opinion.
I agree. Tyler, how many times did you watch it?
Once. I didn't like it.
What did you not like about it?
No, I just didn't like the track. I don't know. It's slick, man. The dirt seems, it looks like it's really good, but it looks like it is really slick. Plus, my guy crashed, Tomac. He crashed again.
Yeah, which is very uncharacteristic. I mean, if you're going to tell me after a race that both Eli Tomac and Hunter Lawrence are going to go down, I'm like, there's no way. I will bet against that all day, because they're both such a technically good rider. I couldn't believe it. And it, you know, which I'm not saying whether it was their fault or not, but.
Well, I mean, stuff happens to the best of them. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in the points lead, and I don't know, like, there's no way you can have a perfect season, in my opinion, when it comes to Supercross anymore. Like, there's a lot of guys that are equal playing ground, and it does affect these guys when there's pressure put on them, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Mistakes get made.
Well, I look at some of your top contenders. I mean, you look at, there were Star Yamaha bikes on the ground. You know, there was Hondas on the ground, both in the 250 and the 450, between, you know, Hunter and Chase, even Eli going down and in the 250. That third moto of the 250, I mean, I was totally blown away. I couldn't figure it out.
The last lap, like, good grief, what is going on?
Yeah, and I guess even in the 450, I mean, you think Eli's got it, and then he goes down. You think Chase has it, and then he goes down. And then where did Anderson come from in that second moto? You know, I mean, I think he goes like P8 in moto one, and then second moto comes out winning it. And I mean, it's just exciting, you know, as a fan of the sport and a fan watching it. I watched it twice, and both times I was, wow. I mean,
poor old Martin didn't even know he won that moto. Yeah. He didn't even know where he was out on the track, and there was so much carnage. And then
he's so old, he's senile. Yeah, he didn't know where he was.
Crossed the finish line. He's looking at the scoreboard, like, well, "What?"
Yeah,
that was cool.
No, that was exciting. And as a fan, it was very exciting to watch too, because going into those third motos, you didn't know what could happen. I mean, it was almost like a winner take all.
Yeah. What?
Love that movie.
Winner take all. What's crazy to me is, like, obviously I've watched a lot of Supercross in my lifetime now, and I honestly think this is the best season so far I've ever seen.
I would agree with that completely.
I mean, it's, you never know what the heck's going to happen, and I'm like, all right, well, this is shaping up to be a really good season. So I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, I was thinking, do you think, you know, everybody talks about, well, not everybody, but you hear a lot of talk about Anaheim 86 being the greatest Supercross ever, but...
I wasn't born. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, for those of us...
I watched it on my rabbit ears. I had rabbit ears on my fat back.
I mean, but nobody has mentioned that potentially this was, I think, one of the maybe top five, top three Anaheim ones to kick off the season that I have seen in years. I mean, there's always a surprise winner, but from the word go, the season has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Do you think it's because you have multiple guys that are that tight in points as far as 450 goes? Because, I mean, I feel like in the 250 West, outside of, you know, Jet and RJ, I don't feel like it's that tight.
Well, the West, yeah, it's not that tight.
Which, I mean, I know there's part of that's due to injury and things like that, so.
Yeah, and it's, I mean... I didn't even think about the 250 class. It's
so you're focusing on the 450 there with how tight those top three are in the 450.
Yeah, I that's funny you mentioned that. I didn't even think about 250s. All I thought about was that Shane didn't set his team this week and he scored 0 points.
It's like
two weekends in a row.
I was gonna say it's multiple weekends.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I get so distracted on Saturday. I'm sorry. I got a lot of things going on in my head, and you know, just became a grandfather, and the wife goes to visit the grandbaby, and I'm trying to feed dogs and mow the lawn and blow the yard, and I got 100 things going. And the last thing that was on my mind was picking my team. So I apologize. I'll win the $100 in Daytona.
Well, the thing is like we haven't really committed to doing a certain prize or a certain amount for every weekend.
I thought it was $100 every weekend.
We talked about doing like a gift card one weekend, and we talked about doing a prize one weekend, and we talked, about doing $100 cash. But
is Daytona up to 500? Because I'll make a pick then for sure.
We haven't really set any prizes for it right now. So,
well, I'm going to be at the track this weekend. So just remind me. I'm going to be with you.
I'll remind you.
Just remind me, please. No, going back to how tight the racing is, especially in the 450 class right now, I feel like I think Ricky said it on the broadcast, but he said that those guys in their head now know that they have to be there. Those top guys that are in the top five, they know they have to be there every weekend. So like they're there every weekend now. It's crazy.
Well, one person that I do want to bring up, and it's exciting for me because we have a personal tie to him, and that's Colin Park, right? So with Colin, he was on episode number 3 with us before, and I look at him and I kind of talk about, he's brought up his expectations beforehand. He's brought up, what he believed he was going to be this week. So I'm going to see if I can bring him in real quick. Colin, you there for us, bud?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there he is, the Colin Park machine out there on the Phoenix Honda Racing. Colin, I know we talked about this on episode 3. We talked about it. One of the things I want to bring up for you is coming in here is what was your expectation coming into this season?
So this season, I know coming off my rookie year, I had only 2 top 10s. The results on paper weren't that great, to be honest, and coming into this year, I want to make the jump, and I want to be a consistent 7-10 guy. I feel like I've been doing that this year. Obviously the 9th in Houston, Tampa unfortunately was a wash for me, going down in the heat race, not being able to line up, and then in Dallas I had a pretty good night going. Obviously not great, but went 10-10, and then the final main, fortunately, got taken down in the second corner and ended up 20th in the final main. So that gave me 14th overall, which is definitely far from where I want to be. But I'm definitely making progress, so that's good to see.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that people don't know about that Tampa round. You were a little bit quiet, and I don't know if that was intentional, but I probably would have done the exact same thing. But did you ever really go in to detail about what happened in the Tampa rounds and what happened between Tampa and Arlington?
Not really. I did a couple of post-race interviews after Dallas and kind of went into it. But, yeah, so Tampa was a really tough hit for me. I had a really good day going for myself. I qualified 10th, which is the best ever for me. That's something I'm normally struggling. So going into the night show, I'm like, dude, I'm in a good spot. Like, I always tend to race better than I practice, and I like that about myself, but I want to get better in qualifying. So practiced a lot of starts for Tampa. We actually went in with a new start map and came out of the gate in 3rd or 4th. Smith had gone down, and I was actually trying to pass Vial for 2nd over the Dragons back in. You were at Tampa, so it had rained before the night show, and I was heat 1, so you're kind of going out there blinding a bit, right? Like, you kind of don't know what's going to be slick, what's going to be good, and I just got wheel spin off the 2nd-to-last whoop, and it just pitched me forward, and next thing I was just eating the Tampa dirt, unfortunately. I ended up doing a grade 3 AC separation to my shoulder, so I tried to line up for the LCQ. It was a no-go, and after that, I literally saw my doctor here in Charlotte every single day from Tampa until Dallas. I only got the ride 1 time, which was the Thursday before Dallas. Just I honestly only went riding to make sure that I was good to go to try and line up, and I was super weak, but I'm like, you know what, like, maybe adrenaline's gonna help me and take over, and it definitely did in a bit. I was on struggle street in Dallas for sure, just weak, and like, just I was more scared of getting tired and getting sketchy, and with me not being strong, it causing a bigger crash for myself. So I was definitely trying to be consistent on the night, and I was doing a good job at it. And unfortunately, the third main got me. But yeah, I mean, those 2 weeks in between, I got lucky with the weekend off with it going to Oakland. And yeah, those 2 weeks, it was brutal for myself. Just every day, just PT. And honestly, if you would have asked me the day or two after Tampa if I was going to line up, I thought for sure I'd be missing a couple rounds. So for me to even be in Dallas was a win in itself for me.
So it was more so the strength in Dallas versus the shoulder? Like, was the shoulder good to go at that point?
I mean, I don't know if I would say good to go, but it was good enough to ride. Right. Yeah, I mean, the pain was obviously not the best, like, but the biggest thing was the strength. Like you said, like, it's just so weak. So even like when the whoops broke down and you get maybe a little sideways in the whoops, I was just scared of like your arm falling off or something like that coming off the bars. And I just didn't want it to cause something bigger. And luckily it did not for myself. So
yeah,
now I get another week to get some physical therapy in, and then another home race in Daytona. So I want to rebound. I definitely wasn't able to get the result I wanted in Tampa. So I'd like to turn the ship around in Daytona.
Well, I want to get to Daytona and talk about that. But one thing that I want the people and the listeners, you know, we try to put as much light as we can on behind the scenes, like even for our team, you know, some of the logistics and things like that going on. But for you as a pro rider, how much do you feel like that 2 week off of the bike and only riding one time between, you know, the Tampa and Dallas race? I mean, mentally, physically, did that negatively or positively affect you in either way?
So there's pros and cons for both of it, to be honest. My dad has always been big on me taking breaks. Obviously mid season, you don't want to take a break, but so like a good thing, like mentally, I mean, I knew I couldn't ride, right? So mentally I was like, okay, I'm going to be fine. Like, you don't forget how to ride in 2 weeks. Like, you just don't.
Right.
For me, it was actually like, to be honest, I was so sore even just after practice, in Dallas, just after, obviously I still trained the whole time, like bicycling, doing what I could in the gym. Obviously it wasn't much, but you just can't replicate being on the motorcycle, and much less race day. Your nerves are higher, you're more tense. So that automatically is just going to make you be more sore. So just after practice, like my back and my calves, like everything was so sore already, just from going 2 weeks of no riding and not even getting my heart rate up like to that high. You know, I mean, you can't replicate getting your heart rate that high unless you're just riding. So for me, it was just the soreness really. And my shoulder was just getting more and more sore as the day went on. But I mean, a big part of it is mental. I mean, he's actually Jace's mechanic now, but he was our team manager last year. He's really big on the mental side of things. And I mean, if you were healthy 100% to 2 weeks off, I guarantee you could go up on race day and you wouldn't even know it. Mentally, if you tell yourself you'll be okay, I think you'll be just fine.
Yeah. That's good though, because there's so much of it that's mental.
Well, even
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Even in Dallas with your performance, with your condition not being able to ride and your shoulder bothering you and being sore, like, I mean, are you happy with, you know, your outcome out of Dallas?
I got asked this, and I just said I have just mixed emotions, right? Like, 10th place is not where I want to be, but given my circumstances, I can't be mad about it. And then obviously getting 14th overall, that's not good at all. Like, I'm definitely not stoked about that. But just for me to be able to line up in Dallas and even be like somewhat in the fight, that was a plus for me. So I'm definitely trying to look on the positive side. The result on paper was not at all what I'd want, not what the team wants. It's not what I've worked for all off season, but given my circumstances and what I've gone through, I'll take it, obviously. And it's something, you know, I know I can improve off of that for sure.
Well, Colin, you know, when we were on episode 3, we talked about our history and how far you and I go back in general. But, you know, you and I get to talk throughout the week a couple times, and, you know, we've got different conversations that we're having. But I think one of the comments that you made to me was you didn't even know if you were going to line up for Dallas. So when you think when you think about, there's a chance here that I'm not even going to race this race, and then to be able to race it, and then obviously it's a different format, so you got to be top 18. You qualified straight into the night show. Then that's, you know, I think that's one of those outlooks and positive. Like, here we were a couple of days before on the phone, I might not even race this race. And then boom, you're out there and you're in it and you're racing. And, you know, you go 10-10 in the first two motos. And you mentioned the the crash or the takeout in the third moto. I think overall that's a pretty good result.
No, you're right for sure. And to be honest, last year, my rookie year, I actually missed both Triple Crowns. Those were the only two mains I didn't make. So that was actually my first Triple Crown I've ever made, and I made it straight out of qualifying. So, I mean, yeah, like you're saying, there is way more positives to take from Dallas than what I'm giving credit to myself. Like you said, I mean, literally, I was sitting on my bike in the stands, like on the stand Friday in the pits, like moving it up and down, like, man, am I going to be able to do it? Because I knew Dallas was going to be tough because there was a big set of whoops Friday. They did mow them down for Saturday. And then a Dragon's back too. So like for me with the shoulder injury, that was like worst case, right? Like I was kind of going back to the hotel Friday night, like, oh my gosh, man. Like I was stressed out. It wasn't even like nervous. It was just a stress feeling because it was the unknown of like, man, am I going to be able to do it? Like then you start to wonder like, man, who am I letting down if I'm not able to do it? So once I just knew as the day went on, I'd get better too, as long as my shoulder was going to hold up. My first free practice was rough. Qualifying was pretty rough, but when the gate dropped, I feel like I turned into like a different person, and my riding showed. You know, I put down some good consistent laps. So yeah, for sure, many more positives than negatives to take away from Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to race that race when a couple days beforehand we were still in question, I think that's a positive. And I think your season expectations so far, I mean, like you mentioned already, you go P9 in Houston. Yes, we have the Tampa, you know, crash, which created this grade 3 separation in the shoulder. And then, you know, 2 weeks off the bike and you still go to Dallas and go 10-10 in the first two. And then you have the unfortunate incident in the third moto. But you end up P14 overall in Dallas. I would say you're pretty much right on track with your expectations of where you want to be. I mean, do you feel the same?
Yeah, I do. Once you kind of reach those expectations, though, you always want more, right? So
sure.
Like a ninth and a tenth, I look at it now and I'm like, no, like that's not where I want to be. I want to be like I said, I mean, my career best so far is ninth, and I want to do better than that. You know, I need to put myself in the position to, though. I can't just expect to become the field is just too deep to be getting bad starts and expecting to just move your way forward, unless you're obviously like Lawrence or someone like that, right? Like, obviously I'm not on their speed, but if I can just start up there, put myself in good positions and learn what that pace is like, I can't expect to get a good start one time and feel comfortable running up front. You have to just keep doing it consistently to feel comfortable. So that's one of my big goals now for sure, is just to start getting the starts, to be up there, get comfortable at that pace, and then that's just going to lead to good things for myself. And ultimately, I want to be more towards like the 7, and you know, like maybe, I mean, shoot, you never know. The cards fall the right place, and you could possibly crack a top 5, right?
I mean, you can look at Martin. He won a moto,
exactly.
This list, so you never know.
Exactly.
But I mean, you don't want to get a good result. You want to, you know, that way, obviously, you want to get a good result just because of your peer racing. But yeah, I can imagine that first couple lap sprint would be, you know, if you get a good start, would be, you know, hard to get used to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone's like, you watch the race, everyone's like, oh, if you just get a good start, you'll do so good. But it's like, yeah, you can do better. But you can't expect to get one good start and be like, oh man, okay, yeah, listen, I'm used to this. I don't think it works like that, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. So, Colin, let's you know, we're three rounds into the East Coast right now. We've done the Houston, the Tampa, the Dallas. You've already mentioned it. One of my next questions. We've got Daytona coming up. We have Indy, Detroit, Atlanta, New Jersey, and then the finale in Salt Lake. Out of these upcoming rounds, which one of those would be in your personal favorites?
You know what's funny is you just mentioned all the races, and there was not one race you said where I'm like dreading going to. Like,
yeah.
I like all the places, to be honest. And for me, obviously Daytona is going to be special just because it's a home race, a lot of familiar faces, and I just like I've grown up going to Daytona racing, even for the amateur race. So
sure.
That one's obviously super special for me. But I mean, I would obviously say I'm probably most excited for Daytona out of them all, but there's definitely no one race where I'm like, no, I'm not looking forward to going there. Like I enjoy all the places so far.
When you were growing up, did you do Atlanta when it was in the dome in downtown versus last year it was at the Speedway? Didn't you hole shot it there last year?
No, not that. I whole shot at Foxborough. But okay, there you I go. Did it. Like, I went to Atlanta to watch, like, when it was in the stadium. But I personally, like, I mean, the Speedway tracks are cool, but I just don't feel like they're as hyped as, like, a normal Supercross. It's just, like, because of how spread out the track is, like, as a spectator, I don't think it's as cool either. Like, where when you're in a stadium, like, you can see everything, you know? Where, like, when you're in the stands at Atlanta or Daytona, it's kind of hard. It's almost more of like an outdoor race feeling, you know?
No doubt. I mean, those tracks are so long and they're fairly narrow that if you're on one end of it versus the other, you might not be able to see the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Any plans this week with your team or are you guys training on like a Daytona, you know, section or did they change any of the tracks where you guys are riding?
Yeah, actually, Club MX, they actually have a Daytona, like, not replica, but like a more of a Daytona style track for us to ride this week. I'm only going to ride like one time this week even, because for me, I'd rather just go into Daytona more and more healed up rather than riding and just wearing my shoulder out even more. So hoping to get on the bike just one time this week. And yeah, we do have a special track. So that even like makes it more exciting during the week. You just have something to look forward to instead of just doing the same old track. So I always enjoy getting ready for Daytona. It's just a special and cool race. I just, it brings a smile on my face talking about it.
Well, you know, being a Florida boy, Colin, and I mean, all your history here in Central Florida and your family growing up here in Central Florida, and that's got to be – Daytona's on the map every year. Tampa kind of comes and goes, and they change that one on and off the schedule, but Daytona's definitely got to be one of those markers where it's – I'm looking forward to this one every year on the schedule.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at with that race for sure. I every year I'm like, okay, Daytona. Like, I want to do good in Daytona. It's just the vibe's just so sick for me.
So with the, you know, injury in Tampa, and then obviously going to Dallas, Arlington, and doing the 10-10-20 for P14 overall. What is your expectation now for the remainder of this East Coast, you know, 2023 East Coast season?
Yeah, so now after obviously Dallas, I was struggling a little bit, but I do think I'll get better and better now. My shoulder's going to continue to get better. And now it's going to come down to me. I need to get good starts and put myself, like we were saying, get comfortable with that and just put myself in good positions for good things to happen. And I definitely want to be more in the front mix. I've been kind of like right outside of that, I feel like even Houston, I was ninth, but just like outside of just mixing it up but I want to be more inside that battle. Like, I feel like there's always like a pack, right? Like 6 to 8 or 5 to 8. Like, I want to make my way into that battle and get comfortable with that. And I think it'll lead to good things for myself.
Well, not trying to get into your personal life or personal schedule, but when you talk about Daytona, are you coming in Friday, Saturday morning? Are you staying at all throughout the weekend? Obviously, there's the RC amateur days, Sunday, Monday. What's your plan for the weekend? Are you going to be able to stick around and say hey to us, or you got a flight first thing?
You know what's funny is I actually got my flight today. I'm actually going to be able to stay till Monday morning.
Really?
So when I went to Tampa, I wasn't able to go home. I haven't been home in a couple months, so I'm actually going to fly in Thursday night. I don't know if I have press day or not yet, but I'll head to the track Friday at some point, and then yeah, Sunday I'm gonna come back and check out the RC race.
Good. Well, that's awesome, because we'll be around for the whole weekend. You know, obviously we're bringing the semi over on Thursday. Sugar Shane and I will be there on Friday with Mr. Pooh Sipes, and the boys will be starting to roll in throughout the weekend. We do pro day on Saturday, and then we've got Drew and Carson, you know, that we're going to keep an eye on Sunday, Monday, make sure that they have everything that they need for their amateur days. And we're going to be leaving there and headed to a different event from that point. But it's going to be exciting to come down to a home race where all of us, you know, being Florida natives and, you know, getting to grow up racing in the moto industry in Florida, we'll get to hang and spend some time with the Cullen Park.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to feel just like the old days. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too, man. So, hey, Colin, with everything that you've got going on with your season, who's helping you out? Who do you want to thank throughout this journey?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I'd like to thank, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ for always keeping me safe. And my mom and dad have been there for me through everything, you know. And actually, today's their anniversary, so shout out to them. Happy anniversary to my parents.
30th and anniversary.
Yeah, 30 years.
That's a big one.
Yeah, obviously my team, Phoenix Racing Honda, they've been so good to me, and especially just going through what I'm going through right now, just understanding and just being there for me. And my trainer, Blake Savage, as well, just sticking with me through everything. And, you know, we all, the team, just we have a bunch of sponsors that are always treating us so good. 60, Arma, Moose, Parts Unlimited, Alpine Star, FMF Vision and Goggles. Enzo, KYB, Yoshi's at all the races with us. That makes race day that much better. And I'd like to also give a shout out to my mechanic, Chris McCracken, who he's actually been with me since like 2017. So it's cool that he gets to go to the races with me now still. And even the team letting him come, like that's a huge deal for me. So as well as HBI, they've helped me out now for a few years. And anybody else I forgot to thank, I appreciate their support more than they know.
Well, that's awesome, Colin. And it's always good to have one of our, you know, Florida local boys and fan favorites. We root for you every weekend. I was sitting with your mom and dad and Chase and Carly when we were in Houston. I wasn't able to make it to Dallas, but I was sitting right next to them the whole time. David was sitting right in front of us in the stands. And, you know, it's so much fun to have you guys around. And we truly enjoy, you know, I know myself with our history going back over 15 years and with your relationship, even with our great title sponsor, HBI Racing and HBI Tax, Mr. Matt Bell. And it's just exciting to have, you know, you on the show and then be able to watch you throughout your journey and, you know, doing so good this year. I mean, obviously we know Tampa was a bit of a bummer, but, you know, to go out there and put it in the top 10, I know was a goal for you. And I'm excited to watch you continue to grow and heal from this shoulder and expand on throughout it. So, you know, I'm glad that you took the time out to talk to a bunch of misfits and jabronis here, but I appreciate you, you know, reaching out to us and grateful for your input and insights throughout the week. And we look forward to seeing you in Daytona.
No, yeah. And thank you for even having me on, and thank you for even everything you've done for me over since, I mean, shoot, you gave me my first interview when I was 5 or 6 years old. So you never forget where you came from. So yeah, thank you for everything you've always done for me as well.
Oh no, you guys know we appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you and the family in Daytona, bud. Let me know if you need anything. We'll be there for you in a heartbeat.
Sounds good. Thank you guys. And yeah, have a safe week. And I look forward to this weekend and seeing you guys all there.
Yep. Thanks, Colin. See all you, right. Bud.
See you, Colin.
See you guys.
I don't know. I really don't know if there's a better guy. Just,
well, here's the thing.
Such, like, a genuine dude.
His attitude is positive.
Very much.
You know, and I think if he doesn't set unrealistic goals, and I think with his positivity, just his attitude alone and putting in the hard work, he's going to set those goals. I think he's really going to grow in his racing career just because of that alone.
Yeah.
You know, he downs himself a little bit, and he puts pressure on himself, and everybody does. But what a positive thinking dude, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, even with him, you know, talking about he's got mixed emotions about Dallas. I mean, I've talked to him, I don't want to say every day, but pretty close to every day.
Stalker.
And, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you got a guy that's close to you, you want to make sure he's doing well, yeah, and everything. Sure. And I'm fully honest on the show and the episode that, you know, we weren't sure when we talked the other day that he was even going to race. He's like, hey, I'm going to ride, see how it feels, and we're going to make a decision. And, you know, he ended up going racing, and to go 10-10 in those first two motos is impressive. You know, obviously an unfortunate incident there in moto 3, but man, you got to be happy with that. I mean, when you go from a couple of days before the event not knowing if you're even going to be able to race to putting it straight into the night show, good for him.
I mean, honestly, it goes to show you that he mentioned, like, listen, who am I going to be letting down?
Yeah.
He cares about the people that are supporting him, and he knows he was injured, and they don't expect him to go out there and ride and race if he's injured or whatever, but for it to cross his mind, like, who am I letting down, that's important because, you know, those guys got him there, you know, yeah, and they're helping him out. And so, yeah, dude, what a positive guy.
Yeah, no, it's good to have him. It's refreshing to have that mentality in the pits, and it's great to have him on the show and, you know, continue to support him and all of our Florida boys too. And, you know, we are excited for Daytona, you know.
You know what's special about Daytona?
What?
You got one weekend, and you get to knock out your amateur boys, and they're out there racing, and yeah, and the guys riding out of the, you know,
pro day,
the pro day, and it's like, doesn't happen anywhere else.
Right.
You know,
that's one of the coolest parts about that event, you know, for us is it's a double down, you know, so you get the pro days, which like I mentioned, you know, we're going to bring the semi in on Thursday. We got to get it into the paddock on Friday morning, and then we have pro day Saturday, and then we're going to end up moving it Saturday over to the amateur side Saturday night for amateur racing on Sunday, Monday, where we can make sure that Carson and Drew have everything that they need to go and succeed. And, you know, that's like you mentioned, there's not one other race that I know of that's, you know, an AMA major amateur event. There's only four of them throughout the year. So for this to be an AMA major amateur event and it's tagged in right here with a pro race, you know, we get to support all the guys in the same weekend. You know, so that's the only race throughout the entire year that we get to do this.
Yeah, very cool.
So that's exciting. And, you know, for anybody looking for us on Saturday, we will be over by the garages where the, you know, race haulers are for all the pro guys. That's, you know, obviously we have pro guys. Aiden will be there. Cole will be there. He just won't be racing. So Cole's going to be there. He's going to be signing posters, and he'll be in his team gear. So anybody wants to come see Cole Bradford, the 427, Aiden Shive, the 137, Aiden will be racing on Saturday. So we will be in the pro side on Saturday, and then we're going to be ending up moving the rig because the amateur setup's a little bit different than the pro setup as far as the, you know, paddock. The cool thing is our good friends at Fox Racing, the title sponsor of this episode, number 22, Fox Racing, because of our relationship with them and, you know, how much fun we get to have and the partnership with that we've created with them, we're going to be going over into the amateur side into where the Fox Racing, you know, toter home was last year.
Nice.
They're not going to be bringing it this year. So we're going to move our rig over into the Fox Racing, you know, spot for the amateur days. So super grateful.
Hey, know. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So obviously you don't set up a tent at Daytona for the pro day right. Because you're parked in the garages and, you know, we do it kind of NASCAR style. But what about in the amateur area? Are we setting up the tent?
No, but there will be no awning going up at Daytona.
Oh, okay. Because I know there's a bit more room where that's at. I didn't know
how we that actually, was going to work. We haven't seen it.
So maybe setting up the tent.
No, I've already talked to multiple of the people involved. We will not be setting up the awning at Daytona, and we will not be setting the awning up at Atlanta.
Okay. I was just wondering because I was going to maybe like put a shout out to like get some volunteers, you know, to help out. But
Tyler, what time are you coming over?
Yeah.
I got a proxy standing in for me.
But no, I was just wondering. I didn't know because obviously there are trucks I've seen at Daytona for the amateur day that have their tent set up, and so I didn't know if we were going through that process.
It depends on where the truck is going to be parked. And unfortunately, at the moment right now, I have not seen an amateur day parking map.
Hmm.
But the people that I've already talked to within MX Sports and even our good friends at Fox, you know, we've all pretty much agreed that we will not be putting an awning up. You know, we probably will put up some, you know, pop-up tents, 10 by 20s, you know, some skirting, but
Sugar Shane needs some shade. I'm just saying.
we'll make sure we find you some shade.
Sugar Shade?
Sugar shade on Sugar Shane.
No, so we'll be moving over there, you know, Sunday morning for the amateurs. The practice will start, and then they'll go into round one or Moto ones. And then Sunday, they'll complete Moto ones and go into Moto twos. And the amateur day will be done on Monday evening. And then both boys are going to be, Carson and Drew are both going to be getting loaded up and headed straight out to Texas for the next AMA major, which will be Freestone. So they're going to be getting on the road pretty quick. So we're going to end up planning to stay around, you know, Sunday, Monday. We want to watch them, support them, do anything we can do to help them out and make sure that they have what they need to succeed. So we will be there for quite a few days. So anybody listening to this episode, I mean, should we give something away? Like if somebody's, what's a code word?
What you got?
I mean,
Tickle Tyler again, we could use. Code word Tickle Tyler.
Code word Tickle Tyler. Maybe we'll give away like a set of Fox gear.
If you got it, let's do it.
Yeah, maybe we can get give away a set of like Fox jersey and pants. You can give us what size, you know, you want at the event, but you have to use code word Tickle Tyler. So the first person that uses code word Tickle Tyler.
To who though? They have to come up to
either you or
a single individual.
You or I. If you come up to Sugar Shane or myself, RJ, if you come up to one of us at the event in Daytona this weekend and you say Tickle Tyler, we will get you a set of Fox Racing gear that's your size.
So but don't tickle me. I'm not Tyler.
We're not. The code word is tickle just Tyler.
Code word.
Yeah, you're not going to physically tickle, but the code word will be tickle Tyler, and we will get you a jersey pant combo in your size. We will get that for you.
Can I say tickle Tyler right now?
No, you're excluded.
I need some.
Anybody gear. On the need, team is
I,
out.
I need some gear. Oh man,
you're going to say that. Aiden's going to come say tickle Tyler Shane.
Yeah, exactly. Aiden's going to try to.
Aiden's going to be trying to get.
Or gear. I wouldn't put it past Drew Adams.
Oh, he'll definitely do it.
Yeah.
No, anybody on the team is excluded from the event. So any listener that is planning to be in Daytona, whether it's for the pro day or amateur day, the first person throughout the entire weekend, the first person. We're only giving away one set, Shane.
I know. What I'm saying is Saturday starts the weekend, so Friday doesn't count.
I mean, it can. It's the whole week. We're going to be there Thursday through Tuesday, basically.
Okay, so let's just call it Friday.
Okay.
Friday to Monday.
The first person that comes up in that duration of time that says Tickle Tyler will get a free set of Fox Gear jersey and pants. We're not doing V3 helmets and Instinct boots. We're going to do jersey and pants only. Jersey and pants.
Gloves to match?
Yeah, we can. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do gloves with it. We'll make it a combo. Jersey, pants, and gloves.
Jersey, gloves, and a pair of work gloves.
Yeah, no, we'll do jersey pants. So the first person that says, let's just make this clear right here, from Friday through Monday, you cannot be a part of the team or affiliated with the team as far as sponsors go. You can come up and find one of us and say, Tickle Tyler, and we will get you a jersey, pant, and glove combo from Fox.
Not Pickle Skyler, Tickle Tyler.
Yeah, Tickle Tyler. So there we go. So Daytona's going to be fun. We're looking forward to that. But
I hate you guys.
So pro days, amateur days, we're going to wrap up Daytona either late Monday or early Tuesday. But then the semi is going from Daytona immediately to Dade City Motocross for the Red Bull Day in the Dirt down south,
yep.
Which is the following weekend, March 10th through the 12th. Registration is currently open for Day in the Dirt down south on their website. So we're leaving Daytona on, like I said, either Monday night or Tuesday, depends on how we can get the semi out because we haven't seen the parking layout yet. So if we're blocked in, we might have to stay there through Tuesday, but either way, the semi is going to go straight to Day in the Dirt, and we have a super, super cool build going on. It is a 2001 CR500, and I have personally seen some of the sneak peeks of the build. We've been putting some little teasers on our Instagram, so anybody that's interested in the build, follow along on our Instagram for that. I have gotten to see the graphics and the seat cover and the plastics, which are a different color than normal. This is going to be super cool.
Are we doing a show there?
We are going to attempt.
What do you mean attempt?
Well, it all depends on internet and bandwidth speeds, upload and download size.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We have a great relationship working right now with Red Bull, which that's why you can see I'm drinking the Red Bull sugar free right now because I really enjoy the Red Bull sugar free.
Oh, sorry, I'm not.
That's okay. So, Day in the Dirt down south is coming up March 10th to the 12th, and we are going to attempt to do a live broadcast, a live podcast. Yeah. Live podcast.
Podcast broadcast.
Yes.
Yes.
From the event with some of the Red Bull athletes, both on our platforms and Red Bull's platforms, and try and get a live podcast from the event out from the event itself. So that'll be exciting. We also have the bike build going on, which we are not going to show any of the final products or the final build out. But I can tell you this thing is looking super sharp. I mean, I'm talking vapor honed hubs, engine covers, powder coated frame, powder coated subframe, different color plastics, a super cool Step Up MX graphics pattern that mm-hmm. they came out, which I put a teaser out online, but I didn't show the colors. Our great friends at Pirelli gave us brand new tires for this thing. So it's going to have some fresh tires. They even gave us a spare rear tire because you know we're going to need it from riding down the road.
Yeah.
We've got
that thing will eat knobbies.
Oh yeah. So we've got a custom kit on this thing from Step Up MX with the Red Bull Day in the Dirt logo package, which they've done a great job. of getting this thing, you know, ready to roll. And Pro Taper, you know, gave us some products for it. We've got our good friends at Race Tech made a build kit for it, because our chariot rider is going to be Mr. Pooh Sipes. So we've got some
poor guy.
We've got some Race Tech Gold Valve stuff that's in there on the 500. Mr. Ronnie Monk with 612 suspension got him dialed in this week. So, you know, between the Pirelli tire step up graphics, our Pro Taper setup on there, and all the good people that support us and are looking forward to this build and this journey, this is going to be super exciting.
I don't mean to bring this up, but a pipe?
Well, it's difficult on our pipe situation right now, because on our team stuff, we do HGS pipes.
Yeah.
So with this being a 2001 two-stroke 500, you know, we didn't really have much of an option there on the pipe. So we're not going to be running an HGS pipe.
I was just asking because I didn't know if you like contacted like a pipe company to, you know, it's hard because, you know, they have those stamps or whatever and they don't have a lot sitting on the shelf. So I didn't know if you were going to like do like a pipe program on that bike or.
It will have a pipe on it, but, you know, unfortunately it's not going to be able to be an HGS just because of the model year and the availability
of
a two-stroke pipe. But, you know, we're looking forward to all the people that have supported this thing, man. Yeah. I mean, when we've brought up this idea about this project to almost every person that we've talked to, I mean, even Pirelli, when we were bringing it up to them and letting them know that, you know, we're going to document this build and we're going to do a video of it at the event. We're going to be doing a live podcast at the event. We're going to unveil this whole thing. They immediately, you know, jumped on board. So a huge thank you to Pirelli for helping us, you know, get some tires for this thing. And even the boys over at Step Up MX, you know, Troy Downs and Wes, you know, those guys have been awesome building this thing. We've tweaked the kit, you know, quite a few times and gotten all the approval from Red Bull, you know, to make sure that they were happy with it too. And it sounds like everybody's on board with this build, and they've all been extremely easy and great to work with. So I can't thank everybody enough, you know, for doing this thing, because it's going to be fun, and I'm really looking forward to unveiling this bike because I think it's going to look super, super cool.
Well, she's going to bark too.
Yeah, she should go good. We'll see. We'll try and do a shakedown before the event, make sure we can get some of the bugs out of it for Pooh Bear.
Well, poor Pooh. That poor guy's arms by, you know, the end of Sunday. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, he's going to go back to defending Ironman champion right now. So he's going to go back and try and do it again. But, you know, both of the boys, Cole and Aiden, were intending on riding the event also.
Because
we're leaving Daytona and going straight the day in the dirt. We're not going to be making the trip up to Indy just because of, you know, budget reasons and how far Indy is for us. But, you know, with Cole and his injury, he's still going to be at the event. You know, he'll be there supporting everybody and, you know, get to meet whatever. And we'll have his posters, you know, set up underneath the tent and everything like that. So Aiden is planning on riding it at the moment. And he's going to have a kind of a unique bike by himself. So
what do you, can we now, do you know what class he's riding or what?
Well, he's definitely going to be riding two stroke.
Oh,
he hasn't ridden one in a while, and it's definitely a pre-mod. So just like old Pooh Bear going out there on an 01, Aiden's probably going to go out there on a bike a little bit older.
Oh, all right. Perfect.
So
better be a Bull Taco.
So
with dual shocks in the back.
Well, I'm looking forward to the event. I hope everybody that's, you know, listens to the show and supports us and everything like that, you know, can come by the truck and we can make sure we have a good time, because that's what that event's all about, is being able to have a good time with everybody, and we look forward to seeing everybody there. But, you know, then Shane, as soon as the day and the dirt's over, the very following weekend, we have the Dade City FTR race.
Yeah.
So going racing in the woods. I mean, we might even see, you know, we gotta figure out, but we might even see if Pooh can ride the Dade City FTR on that 500.
We're busy, huh?
Yeah.
Good grief. Lots of dirt biking.
Well, and that's why when I get some of the text and the direct messages online, you know, we truly do try to get an episode out every week to keep people up to date with the behind the scenes and some of the details of the team and all, you know, the inner workings, you know, because I get a lot of people that are interested in that and they really want to know about how some of this stuff functions to be able to see this. But when you talk about this schedule, man, last weekend, you know, the boys were racing in Dallas. This weekend coming up, Daytona. Then we go straight to Dade City for Red Bull Day in the Dirt. And the following weekend after that's the Dade City FTR.
I need to buy a gallon of cranberry juice to get my kidneys straight. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Good grief.
Bam, bam, bam.
What, you don't drink cranberry juice?
What, you got like a urinary tract infection or something?
No, it just cleanses your kidneys, you know? I mean, it's a lot of racing, and I might have a couple beers. Well, so I want to keep them kidneys straight.
Well, definitely at the Dade City, the day in the dirt down south, man. That's a fun time. It's the fastest party on two wheels, so... Look forward to seeing everybody at that one. Immediately following it, we go woods racing over at the Dade City FTR. So I think little Benji Man is going to try and race the Dade City FTR. Shane, you going to try and race that one?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Tyler, you going to race that one?
Man.
See, he don't want no part of me in the woods, dude.
You know, you want to, I'm going to tell you something. I have a confession to make. Last year, I rode practice at the Dade City Hare Scrambles and went and got my money back.
Why?
I did not. I thought that that was a ticking time bomb. And it was just so slick, so rooty.
Oh, so I did. Bad. I did one lap though. I gotta agree with him. Remember, I did one lap. Well, I had.
But that was because of your bike.
I had a foul with the bike, but I didn't enjoy last year's course.
Yeah, that course is horrendous.
The year before, phenomenal.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's that. I've ridden that trail probably three or four times, and it is one of my favorite trails. I mean, and I think it actually has won the FTR Trail of the Year award. There's an award for the best trail of the year, and I think they've won it a couple times in the past.
That's wild.
Maybe not last year, but...
Yeah. Well, now you're making me think I should try again, because I got lost in practice on, you know... It was weird, dude. It was, like, not normal.
Well, honestly, like... I don't know the directions, but like last year they ran like more of the northern side of the woods or whatever. And then the year before where it was phenomenal, like the best I've ever, you know, like I enjoyed myself was like the south side of the woods. And I don't know what was up with last year, but like there was massive mud going in the corners and I was just like, dude, and you know, we're racing a pre-modern bike and I'm like, I don't want to ruin this thing in the mud, you know. Like it, I wasn't impressed last year.
That was also one of your first races on that bike, though.
First time I rode it.
You had a little shakedown that you needed to get through, and yeah. You know, figure some things out. So now
Munden Hill this year, or you know, Brooksville, like bike worked great. You know, we had a good time, but so maybe it'll be different this year. But we may have had some rain or something, and it was like I was like, dude, I'm struggling.
Did you get your Future MX graphics on there yet?
No.
You think we'll get them on before Day in the Dirt?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No. Like, no, for sure. They're laying on the seat. Like, I'm going to put them on. But, yeah. Dude, you know, like...
Time.
We got to do podcasts. We got to go to work. A lot of moving parts in our life. I got to feed my dogs. I got to pet them, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of Munden Hill.
What? How about that? The YouTube vid?
Yeah, I was just...
Did you watch it, Shane?
No, not yet. I haven't had time for that yet either. Was it good?
This guy ain't got time to set a team. He ain't got time to put Future MX graphics on. He ain't got time to...
Watch a YouTube video about him.
Hey, yeah. I play in a band. I mean, Saturday night, that's why I forgot my picks. Because I had to go play music.
He was jamming out to Freebird.
Yeah, I was Freebirding it.
So you need to look
up... All hopped up on some LSD and I forgot...
Easy, Jimi Hendrix.
So the Munden Hill FTR video is out on our YouTube channel.
I saw it, dude, and I haven't watched it yet.
Well, you need to watch it because you say right at the very beginning that your only goal was to beat me.
Yeah, and I didn't.
And I beat you.
And yeah, like by the hair off your chin.
That's because I had to pit. You didn't.
Hey, you didn't pit, Shane? I thought Shane pitted.
No, I didn't. I was. Gonna,
it was part
I was,
of his tactic.
Yeah, I was going for broke. I didn't care if I ran out of gas on the last lap. I was like...
You didn't beat RJ and you didn't pit?
Well, three stalls. So the bike's not 100%.
Bike worked great at one.
No, it did work a lot better, but
bike worked great.
It's still not 100%, but honestly, I would have smoked RJ probably by a half a lap if I didn't have three mishaps, but whatever. there's always another day, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think positive like Colin Park.
Yeah.
Like, there's always another day.
Yeah. So, Dade City will be your redemption ride.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm racing that one or not.
Oh, God, come on.
Oh, now he's retired.
But he beats me one time and now he wants to retire?
That's a win. A win.
He's not available for rematch.
All right, well, all I got to do is one lap at Dade City and I beat RJ.
Do the practice lap, get your money back.
So, Tyler, What is your schedule coming up? Are you, you're riding Day in the Dirt, right?
Yeah, I'm already signed up.
Already signed up. Mm-hmm. You're going to do it in the future?
I'm going to ride Cali, Friday and Saturday.
Cali 450.
Yeah, I'm going to ride Friday, Saturday, not Sunday.
Are you coming to Daytona?
I think so.
Yeah.
That didn't sound very positive.
Are you coming to Day to the FTR now that we just convinced you that you got to give it another shot?
I mean, I can't ride with you guys, you know?
Yeah, you can. Practice at the same time. If you're only going to do one lap of practice, all the big bikes go out at the same time.
Get your money back. Great point. If anybody's listening that works for FTR, this guy's stealing from you.
No, it's a policy. It's a policy.
I know, but you go out and you ride a couple. Well, you ride one lap and get your money back. So if this guy Tyler comes up to you at the end of practice, he's just there to get his money back.
I'm sorry. I rode three or four of them last year. That track, I did a 360 in practice on those routes. I slid out and just the bike went all the way around on me. I just did not feel like I could ride three laps or four laps on a Sunday safely.
What were you on?
My old Yamaha 450.
Okay, so new bike, new year.
New me.
New course, new Tyler.
New year, new me.
If you're telling me there's some magical course on the other side of the property that's like an award-winning course, yeah, you piqued my interest.
Well, they have won
the
award a couple years ago. I don't know exactly what years it was, but to me, that's one of my favorite ones. I mean, the Munden Hill race and the Dade City race, which I know it's obviously biased because I'm local, but I'm not a huge fan of the South Florida rounds. There's nothing against them. They're perfectly fine.
I'm not a fan of the drive.
I think that's part of it, but at the same time, you know, it's a little bit more Palmetto and Palmetto route.
Yep.
I just really enjoy the Munden Hill and the Dade City rounds, and those are two of my favorite trails. So I have not personally had a bad experience in Dade City. Tyler, I'm sorry you feel that way. I think
we are really lucky to have two that close.
Yeah, I think you should give it a shot again.
I honestly want to go do it because I want to go to a race without having to renew my AMA and my FTR and pay for the race. I just want to go there and pay for a race instead of, you know, like, I mean, dude, trust me, you have to pay those fees, but I want to go to a race and just pay to race and not have to drop another, you know, over $100. It's to
renew everything,
get on the track. Cause I always wait till the last minute to renew everything. And it's always in Munden Hill.
Yeah.
So,
well, even after the Dade City FTR, you know, for us as a team, you know, a bit of a plan for everybody right now, just kind of wanting to know what we're doing. We have Daytona right now, which will be the last of the four rounds that we initially signed up for and already committed to, but we are also committing to going to Atlanta and Nashville. We're looking forward to both of those two rounds. So as far as the pro side goes, hey, again, unfortunate situation with Cole, you know, with the injury that he had in Dallas. He will still be at Daytona to, you know, sign posters and be in his team gear and represent the team and his sponsors. After that, there's a bit of a break. The series goes to Indianapolis and then Detroit, and then they go out west again for two rounds. I'm not sure exactly what those rounds are, but then they don't come back to Atlanta until tax day. April 15th. And our good buddy Matt Bell at HBI Tax is the one that pointed that out to me.
God, that was smooth. That was a smooth plug.
So Matt Bell with HBI Tax said, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to that one because that's tax day and that's the busiest time of the year for him. But that is the Atlanta East Coast round. And then 2 weeks later is the Nashville round. And it sounds like there's a pretty big crowd of people going to Nashville.
Possibly.
I mean, from the different sponsors that I've talked to and people that want to just go and attend the race, it sounds like there's a pretty big crowd. So
I don't think they're just going there to attend the race. I mean, Nashville's a fun city.
Oh, no, that's exactly why they're going.
Yeah.
You know, we were informed, and I have not seen the exact schedule yet. I don't even know if it's been released, but I was told that Nashville is a day format.
Nice.
So I believe the, you know, night show, as they would typically call it, which, you know, usually would start around 7 p.m., I believe starts at 2 p.m.
Right, and so we normally get done around
5:30? Yeah, I think the night show's done around 5:30. So, you know, the people that want to go listen to some live country music and enjoy Broadway. And
well, if we take the semi, we're not doing anything. We're getting in the semi. We're driving, bud. There's no fun for us. No fun for us.
No fun for you.
Yeah.
That's a point A to point B trip, right?
Or we might make it back by Wednesday.
I was going to say, you might want to talk to your wife about that one and see how she feels. But no, I do want to extend out that anybody that is going to Nashville, you know, let us know if you're going. We'd love to try and, you know, put something together, maybe a event, you know, a nighttime, you know, after the race, which if the race is done at 5:30, then maybe we could, you know, meet at a certain location. So anybody that is planning to go to Nashville, give us a heads up, reach out to us, whether it's, you know, via email, on the social media platforms, and let us know if you're planning on attending that Nashville race, even in the comments on our YouTube or, you know, Instagram channels, whatever it may be. It would be cool to try and put something together for that one, for Nashville. It's a little bit different as far as Daytona goes, because Daytona is not a Feld event. It's run by, you know, the Daytona and MX Sports and AMA. So we were trying to do something as far as like a VIP package for Daytona. I talked to Ryan Sipes about it, and, you know, get to come meet the general and tour the truck and get a swag pack and things. We were trying to line that up, but because it's not a Feld event,
it's a little harder.
It is a little bit harder as far as the credentialing process goes and the way that people can get in and out of the stadium and in and out of the infield. So we're not going to be able to do that VIP package that we wanted to do. So maybe we try and create that for Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, do a VIP package for Nashville and give away some tickets, you know, for the event, to come attend the event and get into the pit and see everybody, and a little tour of the truck to see the inner workings of how it goes, and, you know, what does a race day look like. So we'll work on the details of that. But again, if anybody's interested, you know, in something like that, feel free to reach out to us and we'll put a little package together for that. But
I want a VIP package for Daytona. On the radio, was it last Thursday?
Really?
Yeah, some place called Lollipops. It was like a whole weekend.
That's why his kidneys are messed up.
Yeah, where's the cranberry juice?
And what's Lollipops? I was excited to win it, but I was just like, I'm just going to, all right, I guess I'll check it out.
It's a breakfast joint.
Oh, all right, well, I got a VIP breakfast all weekend.
There you go. Well, again, a huge thank you to everybody at Fox Racing. Looking forward to seeing the whole Fox crew. A lot of them are flying in and coming in for the Daytona event. So I look forward to seeing everybody in Daytona. And again, do not forget the Tickle Tyler.
Yeah, do not forget the Tickle Tyler. Yeah,
anybody that the first person that gives me the code word Tickle Tyler, and this is a first come, first serve, one and only. We're not doing multiple sets. We're only doing one set. First person that says Tickle Tyler, we will provide a jersey pant glove combo from Fox Racing as being the sponsor of this episode, and also being our great friends coming in to see us at Daytona. So we look forward to that event. So don't forget to use the word Tickle Tyler anytime Friday through Monday, and we'll get that straightened up, as all of our boys are representing Fox and the Fox gear, between Carson Wood, Drew Adams, Aiden Shive, Cole Bradford, all representing Fox. So we look forward to this event this weekend, and anybody coming, you know, please feel free to stop by the truck, say hi to us.
Say Tickle Tyler.
Tickle Tyler. So
I promise you, when you do Tickle Tyler, he goes, hee hee.
I'm not, shut up, Shane.
he's always telling me to shut up.
I'm not coming to Daytona.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Hey. Oh, I got to get
it. I didn't hear Cole. Is there a Tyler?
Yeah.
So those are good friends, Mr. Jason Wygant and Pulp MX over there pushing us through on the review pod. So outside of that,
hey, maybe Wygant will win the gear.
Well, you know, Wygant's going to be a day in the dirt too.
Oh, perfect.
So I believe he's going to try and join us on our live podcast. So we'll get to explain to him a little bit about what Future MX is all about.
And who Tyler is.
Yeah, and maybe he can tickle Tyler.
Perfect. This is going to be a good weekend, a day in the dirt.
Well, again, both of you guys, I appreciate everything that you do, you know, for coming in and being on this in this show, with work schedules and everything that we have going. Mr. Sugar Shane, Tyler Kasha, the man behind the scenes, making sure all this stuff gets out. So look forward to seeing everybody. Anything else, Shane? Any last words?
No, man, just getting ready for Daytona. That's it.
That's it. Episode 22. Tyler, anything?
No, that's it.
Getting ready to roll here.
He's upset.
I'm so mad right now.
Hey.
I didn't hear Cole. Is there a Tyler?
So we're gonna roll on from episode 22. Thank you to everybody involved. We greatly appreciate you guys for being a part of it. Come by and see us at any of these events that we have coming up. We want to hear your thoughts, whether you like it, whether you don't like Sugar Shane being on the show, and you don't like tickling Tyler. So,
you know, trying to kick me off or what?
Let us know your thoughts on the show. Come by and see us and say, hey, we look forward to it. Thank you for listening to episode 22. We will be back next week with episode 23.